ready? This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAY to win 5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week, we're talking about Atali, chunky in CEDH.
That's right. We're dedicating this entire episode to Atali Primal Conqueror, the chunky himself.
I'm excited to talk about this one. This is a great food chain commander. This is a deck that you have recently put back together. Is this video, I don't know, are we going to call this a deck tech, a deck review? We're just talking about Atali.
Yeah, it's more like a commander review. We're just going to go more in-depth on Atali and just spend the day talking about Atali. So if this is a format that you like, let us know what commanders maybe you'd like us to see do a deeper dive into in the future.
I feel like first thing I want to try to go over with Atali, what are the initial pros and cons? Or actually, should we just read what Atali is before we get
to it? Yeah, right?
Let's read what it does.
From the beginning, which is not something we often do. So Atali Primal Conqueror is 5/2 red for a legendary creature, Elder Dinosaur, that's a 7/7 with trample. And when he enters the battlefield, each player exiles from the top of their library until they exile a non-land card. You may cast any number of spells from among the non-land cards exiled this way without paying their mana cost. And for 9 and a Phyrexian green mana, you can transform Atali at sorcery speed into Atali Primal Sickness, who then becomes a Phyrexian Elder Dinosaur. That's an 11/11 with trample and indestructible. And when he deals combat damage to a player, that player gets that many poison counters.
How many times have you transformed this card?
Since I put it back together, once.
Oh, once you did. Okay,
once
cool.
I did, yeah.
Wow, okay. Was it just because you had extra mana?
No, it's because things are going bad for me, and I need to get rid of a player that has like a Draenith Magistrate in play or something like
interesting.
That.
Interesting, okay.
And then it was a Draenith Magistrate that came in later, and now I can't like go for my second attempt again. So it was really weird.
What's your main goal with Atali? What's the main thing? I feel we should talk about this even before pros and cons. What are we trying to do with Atali?
So the main thing is really just trigger the enter the battlefield ability.
Like as much as possible.
As much as possible, because it's so good. Get 4 free spells that you get to cast right here, right now.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We're playing against CDH decks, so this is like a great way that Atali can, in red-green, kind of extend outside of its color combination.
I feel like I'm playing a 5-color deck for that reason.
Yeah. You can find black tutors, you can find white silence effects, you can find blue bound spells, you can find all this stuff. The only issue is you don't get to decide when you find them.
Yeah, and notably, Atali makes you cast all of the spells that the one trigger finds at the same time right away.
Counter spells or whiffs.
Exactly, yeah, because there's nothing on the stack when you get all the spells. You exile them all, and then you have to arrange them in the order that you want them to resolve, with the spell that you want to resolve last being the first that you put on the stack. Whoa, okay, so I've actually learned something since we pre-recorded this episode for this week, and that is that if you stack everything correctly, you can actually target other spells that were already put onto the stack. So say you flip over a green Sun Zenith, which normally is forced to be X equals 0 when you cast it for free. If you also flip into an offer you can't refuse, you just have to put green Sun Zenith on the stack first, so that an offer you can't refuse can target green Sun Zenith and net you 2 treasures then, so that that way it's not like you're completely losing out on 2 dead flips. This also means that when we talk about Flare of Duplication later, it actually kind of changes a couple things. Like, I can copy a Twin Flame if I want to, which seems really good. And if you want a little bit more info on that, there's actually a ruling on the Gatherer that tells you that this is okay. So let's get back to the podcast. Normally for me, this is if I spin into like a clone effect or a way to copy Atali, I like getting all of my information off of my other spells first and then getting another Atali before I keep going.
And each situation is going to be so different depending on when you fire off the spells, right? But in order for a spell to go on the stack, specifically a counter spell needs a target, so they can't go on the stack
exactly,
at all.
Yeah.
But you'll have to announce your targets for everything when you cast them all right then.
This means that if there's Aristic or Mystic in play, you're going to trigger them and they're going to get the cards before you resolve any of the spells that you're getting.
Yeah, they're going to get 4 Mystic Studies and they'll draw 4 times before you cast the first spell.
Exactly, right? To set up for the ultimate backbreaking card, Mindbreak Trap.
Yeah, that one really sucks.
Which is one that you really want to look out for. Yeah,
because Mindbreak can exile all the things on the stack, so all 4 of those spells, get them all gone. Or just the Atali if you don't want to get there, but the option of also all of the spells.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely makes Atali feel really silly in that case. But we're really trying to get Atali Kali to enter the battlefield as many times as possible.
Normally, like, turn two is, like, the goal, right?
Turn two's the goal, yeah, which means that most of the deck is mana. Like, right. There's just a lot of ways to make multiple instances of mana, and that's so many cards in the deck is mana.
That's all you want to do is cast a Tali, recast a Tali. If they kill a Tali, great. You recast it, and you get the thing that you want over again.
Yeah, it almost works out if they recast it. It's like, oh, okay, I can get to 9 mana. That's not impossible.
That's certainly one of the pros of the deck, is that, like, you don't really care about them getting rid of your commander. You actually specifically want them to. So that's, I feel like, an aspect of the deck that's good, is like, all you want is that enters trigger. Your thing doesn't need to stick around. It just needs to do the effect. It's a spell, basically.
And if it does stick around, it's a 7 power creature that can flip over into something that's just going to take a player out in one shot. Yeah. Like, it is something that people will want to interact with if it's getting into the red zone enough.
And Treasonous Ogre has become such a powerful card in your deck that I think it's good to be able to have a blocker sometimes if you do have to pass a turn and say, okay, at least I got the 7/7. That's, you can't get through, which can save my life total, which means it'll keep Treasonous Ogre alive a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, that is one card, right? But I do think that since the banning of Dockside, Mana Crypt, and Jewel Lotus, Treasonous Ogre seems like your best card now.
Yeah, definitely. Right? So, like, the deck definitely did feel the bans, which was the reason why I took it apart at the beginning of the new meta. But what I've since realized is that, like, all of the cards that still feel insane in the deck are still available.
Yeah.
And it just kind of gives you the outlet to play some other cards then too. I agree with you. Treasonous Ogre has been the card that has shined the most for me. It's just the easiest way to get a turn to a Tali has been just like, if you can get Treasonous Ogre out, then you're good as gold.
Yeah, and that's another one of the pros, is speed. Like, the deck is just fast. It's a turbo deck. Yeah. It's going to win quickly. You're looking to win on turn two or three. I guess theoretically you have turn one win opportunities. You've done that to me before, I feel.
I've definitely threatened turn one chunkies that have gotten stopped.
Yeah, okay. That's close.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was mainly, you're winning between turn two and three, maybe turn four, right? That's your sweet spot.
That is normally my sweet spot. A turn four is a slow one, but there's a couple of cards that are in the deck that, like, set you up to be able to win pretty protected for turn four then.
And then the pros of just being able to, we've talked about them already, but being able to cast all of your opponent's stuff, being able to cast things outside of your color pie, but being able to just, like, three spells in a CDH meta, they're going to be good. And a lot of times, since so much of the deck is, like, copying a Tali, if you can cast 8 free spells, you're probably going to win the game, right? Even if they're random spells, 3 of them can be mana dorks or whatever, but if 5 of them are, like, you know, all you need is 2 tutors a lot of the times and you can find a win.
You can really get somewhere. Yeah, and it's a lot of the times okay to find some sources of, like, artifact mana preferably, because you can use that for the tutors that you find to then use all of your follow-up spells. Like, what I like about having such a mass number of chunky copiers in your deck, your Twin Flame, your Molten Duplication, your Electro Duplicate, and your Heat Shimmer.
The flashback one.
The flashback one is nutty, yeah.
That one's real good.
I had a game where I top decked Gamble while I was empty handed and just went, oh, it's a chunky.
Yeah, it's just a chunky.
It's just a 5 mana chunky because I can flashback Electro Duplicate from my graveyard.
Yeah.
And a 5 mana chunky is great. And what I love about those is that it's almost always advantageous to keep the token copy of chunky because then you can send the other one to the command zone in case you spin into something like Hellkite Courser, which just puts your commander from the command zone into play directly.
Yeah, I felt kind of before the bans happened with Dockside and Cloudstone Curio, there was a lot of times where you wanted to leave your commander in play in case you wanted to, like, bounce it up again, right? But I feel like that's not there anymore. Now it's just way more often than not better to keep the token in play. There still might be some situations where it would be better to keep Italian play, right?
Yeah, like, I'm still on Cloudstone because I just replaced Dockside with the Sticker Goblin.
Yeah, which is one of
which
the
Which is the first weakness I would like to talk about. Yeah, is that now I have to play stickers.
Stupid Sticker Goblin.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's nice because, like, Food Chain is such an aggressively powerful win condition for the deck that it's the mana combo that I win with 99% of the time, I even want to say.
Yeah, it's such a good Food Chain deck. And we can talk about, like, the win conditions a little bit too, because Food Chain with Squee, or you're playing Eternal Scourge too, right?
I'm not on Eternal Scourge.
Food Chain and Squee is such a good combo for the deck because it allows you to exile your fucking Atali for 8 mana, so then just one more mana and you get to recast Atali right away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it sets you up to be able to keep getting Atalis. You spin into other people's creatures that, if you don't need them, can just get you other Atalis. You spin into like Eternal Witness sees playing a lot of decks. That gets you back an Atali copier that you already cast and gets exiled the Food Chain for some more mana to help you cast another Atali. Yeah. Like, there's so many great great things that Food Chain helps you spin through to keep your engines going.
The twin flame effects you have, we were talking about, you have four of those twin flame effects. That one's really great because you can pair that with dual caster mage, and then you have your other win condition right there, where like you're the one part of your A plus B is already just good with your commander, right?
Exactly,
like a copy of it. That's great.
You think Thrasios Timna lives it up because devoted druid combos with so many things,
right?
Take a look at dual caster mage.
Yeah,
now.
It's the same thing. Dual caster mage copies with all four of them, right? Are they all?
Yeah,
copy,
all of them. Yeah, you just have to hold priority while they're on the stack. Flashing dual caster mage, you can make a copy of it, having the copy target dual caster mage, and just make infinite 2/2s.
Yeah.
This is not a combo you see very much anymore because we've gotten a lot better ways to win the game. But when you're
in Gruul
and you need like a third backup combo, like I don't really hate it. Yeah,
your main combo is Food Chain.
Main combo's Food Chain.
This one's your third, you said.
I guess technically it would be my
second,
my third, because it doesn't win with the Tali.
Okay, what's your second?
It would be Cloudstone Curio Loops with Sticker Goblin and a cheap creature.
Oh, okay, sure, interesting. That's just way easier to pull off.
Cloudstone Curio and Sticker Goblin are both cards that are really good in the deck on their own. Like Curio being able to help me get a Tali's for 7 mana back consistently feels really good. And like I just play a lot of cheap red creatures that would combo with Sticker Goblin. Like if I have Ragavan, if I have Orcish Lumberjack, there's a lot of different stuff I could have that just like makes that work out nicely.
And the Sticker Goblin is always going to make at least 4 mana.
I
think the reason is because there are a couple of the sticker cards that have to be 3, but there's not 3 of them. And since you always pick at least 3, at minimum, there will be 1/4.
I think in my deck right now, there's actually only one that has 3. Yeah. And all of my other ones, I just went through them all again. All the other ones have, most of them have 4, 2 of them have 5, and one of them has 6.
Has 6. Okay. And now, obviously, the 6 is what you want, but still 4 or ideally 5 is fine, right?
Yeah. But like it really requires me to have like specifically Ragavan or Orcish Lumberjack and like the 5 mana option in order to make infinite mana. Otherwise, I need to have Burgi in play.
Okay.
Because each time I go through the loop, Burgi will net me an additional mana.
And that's Burgi's good, I feel like, for a couple reasons, because Burgi also helps you with Rhystic Study. If you're going through your Food Chain line, if you're casting a spell, Burgi can help you.
Not with the first one, but with the second Rhystic Study. But with all of the other ones, yeah, it'll help me if there's one Rhystic Study in play. So I really do like Burgi for that reason. Just getting me extra mana. And I like the flip side of Burgi quite a lot, too. Just helping me find like the important pieces in my deck that I might need to.
Being in green, sometimes you end up with extra mana dorks in your hand that you don't really have time to cast, and just getting rid of them with the, what's the flip side of Burgi called? Is it a goblet? A glove?
Harnfell, Horn of Bounty.
Right, yeah, that helps you with that. The reason why I bring up Rhystic Study, I feel like Rhystic is another one of the cons or like weak part of this deck, is that you're kind of weak to Rhystic Study because you want to cast 1,000 spells, and also your win condition with Food Chain requires you to cast 1,000 spells.
Yeah, like there's a lot of times where I jokingly say you can just win through Rhystic Study, which like you kind of can. Atali sets up scenarios where you can just end up brute forcing through players' interaction and through their decks to the point where you just find their silence. And then you go, okay, now I no longer need to care about a majority of the things that you could get. You've tapped out. Odawara's not an option. Biseju's not an option. Like there comes a point where you can just go, screw it. I don't have to care.
Right. And because you are, every one of your spells is giving them one draw, but every one of your spells is a spell, and not every one of their draws is a spell.
That's true.
A third of them are lands. Probably more than a third of them are sorcery speed stuff. 10 of them are counter spells, right?
Yeah.
So the likelihood of you hitting a silence or something good, like, okay, you hit the Force of Will, I'm going to keep going anyway, and eventually you'll find something better. It's in your favor.
The odds of the Tali misses are really tough because you'll never hit a land.
Right.
And
you're
like
always hitting a spell, at least.
You're always hitting a spell. And sometimes, like we said, it's a counter or it's a mana dork, right? But there's normally still something good. Now, there are going to be times, like, here's the other weakness of the deck, is that you are going to get unlucky sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, you are going to flip over, like, Utopia Sprawl, Force of Will, Flusterstorm,
and then
Talisman of Negation or something.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go, oh, great, now Chunky's in play, and I don't have a way to get rid of Chunky to do something else. So
now, like, I fed the Rhystic Study player 4 cards, I have nothing to do, and
now you just sit there with a 7/7 in play.
Yeah.
And, like, because you used LED and Orcish Lumberjack to get him out on turn 2,
right,
you have, like, no resources to follow any of this up with.
Yeah, so that can happen, and has happened, right?
It has happened. It is a bit of an all-in deck, but there's so much that you can do to just help set yourself up for, like, a Chunky and then another Chunky, right? Like, you play the Surveil Land, so that way you can set yourself up to go, Surveil Land, spin the bad card that I don't want, now I have Chunky, and then you can get your good thing.
It's a deck that works well with some of its bad things, too. the fact that when you do get some of those shitty things and you just get like a mana dork or something like that, well, you still have Gaia's Cradle. Or if you hit their counterspell, well, your counterspells are weak. That's your weakness. So great. You don't have a counterspell now
that's
against
true.
You, which is fine, right?
There's definitely upsides to a lot of
there's upsides,
too,
yeah.
And there's a lot of just like also really powerful things that just like help you find other copies of Chunky and just like get him into play even easier too. I mentioned Hellkite Courser. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite part about that is that it doesn't, because you didn't cast him, it doesn't add to his commander tax. So even if Chunky cost 11, you get him into play for free off Hellkite Courser. When he goes back to the command zone, he'll still 11. Cast 11, which is really good. Hunting Velociraptor is sick. It just has to get in at one player who just like didn't have a mana dork or something. And then that way, a Tali costs 3 mana. A commander tax will still apply, which means that if you cast him again, that's only 5 mana, which is still really good on the same Prowl turn. I also really like Rionya. Rionya's cracked because if you cast Chunky and get 4 instants or sorceries, that just means you get 5 Rionya copies of Chunky then when you move to combat.
How many Atali triggers do you need to resolve to be pretty confident that you can win the game?
3. Like I need 3 to 4 Atalis to make it feel like I can get this to a game win.
It's like the first one gets you to the second one. The second one gets you to the third one gets you to the win.
If the third one can get me to the fourth one, at least I feel like I can put the win together somewhere.
Just eventually you're going to hit something good. You're going to hit a tutor. You're going to hit a ranger captain to make sure your opponents can't respond anymore. You're going to hit good spells because you're playing against CDH decks. Yeah. They're all good spells.
It's kind of like, you know how abundance works with Wheel of Fortune?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that through your deck where you just get to choose spell every time. You just go, oh, I get to cast all these spells. Oh, look, I found an Underworld Breach. Oh, look, I found this. So you just get to like figure out like these really cool, insane puzzles then too.
Yeah, and like we said earlier, you don't need much. 2 tutors will probably get you there. Oftentimes 1 tutor. You can find Food Chain off of a Demonic Tutor and cast it. Exile Atali, get another. That's a second one. Normally you have some Mana Dorks, exile them. That's a third one.
And then you just start spinning into everything else.
Yeah, you'll find a tutor for Squee and be able to win the game.
The other one that I want to shout out real quick is Jaxxas the Troublemaker too.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you can blitz Jaxxas so that way for just a red mana and discarding a card. So I guess technically 3 mana in total and discarding a card, you can blitz a copy of Atali, and then this Atali copy is blitzed too, so that when that Atali copy dies, you get to draw an extra card.
Which is nice.
Bonus. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the issue, at least another con that I see about this deck is like lack of protection. You're just kind of like hope. Yeah. A lot of times you're hoping your opponents don't have anything, or that you hope that they don't have 2 counter spells. Like, I can present 2 wins here. So if you have a counter for the one, hopefully the other one resolves. What do you have to stay? You have what? Defense Grid, Veil of Summer. What's your protection?
Defense Grid and Veil of Summer are my favorites. Delighted Halfling's a good way to help get an uncounterable Chunky.
That's good. That
doesn't stop a lot of stuff like stop Mind Brick Trap super well, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Delighted Halfling helps me get an uncounterable Chunky. Destiny Spinner helps me get an uncounterable Chunky.
Cavernous Souls?
I do play Cavernous Souls, naming Dinosaur to help me get an uncounterable Chunky. So,
can you name Elder? I guess there's more dinosaurs in your deck than Elders, though.
Technically like the Hunting Velociraptors in the deck, so I'd rather name Dinosaur.
Crop Rot for Cavernous Souls is also kind of relevant.
Crop Rot rotation, basically, yeah. Those are really the only ways. I used to be on Vexing Shusher, but it's just a little bit too mana intensive at this point.
Vexing Bobble? You want to cast things for free. That's terrible.
Everything I do is cast things for free.
Some Autumn's Veil?
I've thought about Autumn's Veil. I like that. I like the range that Veil of Summer has a little bit more.
Oh, so much better.
Yeah, exactly. Where I feel like Autumn's Veil just does a little bit less for me a lot of scenarios.
You kind of have to hope that you hit a silence first, or their interaction doesn't line up, or they don't have enough interaction to go.
My other option is just play better.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Just like be a better player and just like know when to go for it versus also not know when to go for it.
Yeah, you gotta feel at the table.
Yeah, that I've been doing is like if you suspect someone has Mind Break Trap, like to talk to them and like figure out which cards they're okay resolving. Cause like you can go, well, I'm only gonna do things that are gonna mess up the other player's boards.
Yeah.
And I won't go for a win. And like I've had that work out for me where something like counter because I go, oh no, here, I'll show you what I'm gonna tutor for. It's not gonna be a win. I'm going to get a Fury to help deal with this other stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So like you can maybe you can't leverage it into a win, but maybe like you can use other things to help you get a win. Cause if you're not gonna win that turn anyway,
you
still wanna have some board presence.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Like using communication, like using just like being able to stay alive. Since you don't have counter spells, talking, like you said, is like the best way to make sure you can stay alive. Is just tell your opponents, like, let me resolve my shit. I will for now just find stuff to deal with them. And then hopefully eventually you'll have an opportunity to win later.
Good example of this, I feel like, is this game that we showed on the channel against Dan Moderately Anonymous.
Yeah.
There was a moment where I could sense that Dan had Swords to Plowshares. They just kept saying to the table, oh, don't worry about Atali. I have a way that I can stop Atali from coming down. And I feel like at that point, I should have, when I surveilled a Twin Flame to the top of my library, I feel like right then is when I should have showed everyone, no, I have a Twin Flame and done something then. But I waited until Dan was going to do something on your end step going into my turn, when it was clear that they wanted the swords to plowshare my Orcish Lumberjack, which is just like a clear way to get a fast Atali. So I showed them the Twin Flame that was on top of my library, which then said, look, I don't have another Chunky on board. And in my hand, I'm secretly looking at a Metamorphosis going, I know that I can still get a Chunky.
Well, and the way that you phrased it was specific. You said, does it help you to know that what I scryed to the top was this card and it doesn't help me get a Chunky? This doesn't help me right now. And you showed the card that you kept on the top, it doesn't help to get a Chunky. And we had just been talking that like Cameron would only keep a card on top if it allowed him to get a turn two Chunky. But Cam already had a turn two Chunky. It didn't matter. You know what I mean? It didn't matter what card was on top. So we said, this card doesn't help me. And Maud goes, okay, yeah, that card doesn't help you. Take your turn. And then you had Metamorphosis.
I had Metamorphosis and my Surveillance. Now I could sacrifice to the Orcish Lumberjack then too. So
yeah,
ended up working out. But like, yeah, like there's times where like you're going to have to use your words because your deck can't interact in the ways that you need your tournament CEDH decks to interact. Yeah. So you have to use your words a lot of the time.
Other ways that kind of act as like soft, I don't want to say like protection, but like I view Magus of the Moon and Blood Moon as also weird ways to turn off your opponent's interaction because they can no longer cast their silences, which were pretty good against you with the Atali trigger on the stack. I mean, I silence you. You can't cast any of those spells or any of the blue counter spells, Swan Song stuff, specific stuff like that. You can shut off a lot of that stuff.
Honestly, those two cards have gotten way better since Jeweled Lotus and Dockside have gotten banned.
Yeah.
Because that was like the biggest reason to not play the Blood Moon effects.
Who cares?
Because, Dockside. Yeah, like you just, I can still cast Dockside.
Yeah.
And I'm completely unlocked. But now that that's not an option for a lot of decks, like all of the top decks, Thrasios, Timna, like even Timna Crown has such a hard time operating underneath.
Only mountains.
Yeah. Like way, way, way more difficult. Yeah. And I've said this before, but it turns it into a rule of law then basically where you can have mana rocks, you can have mana dorks, but your pips are so restrictive that you can still only cast one spell per turn cycle.
Yeah. It turns off Daze in Rock's Eye.
That's nuts. Yeah. It is a non-bow with Carpet of Flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a little bit tough. So, like, there has been times where, like, I need Carpet of Flowers to help me get a Chunky, but Blood Moon is helping me by, like, not letting certain players progress and win. Right. So, like, that's really the only non-bow in the deck that I'm a little bit considerate of.
A little bit of a pull there.
But it's definitely, they've definitely been super strong post-ban.
Yeah.
Another one that I haven't had the chance to try out yet, but I've been seeing in some other lists that I'm excited to test out is Wandering Archaic.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is just, like, a good one to spin into. And some, not perfect, but at least it's some kind of anti-mind break trap tech, where now, like, you have to make sure that you have mana up if you want to interact with anything that I'm going to do. Like, this is another way that I can, I guess, have, like, a protected...
It's counterspell protection. Because now all their counterspells, they have to pay an extra two for, and a lot of times they're not going to have access to because they want to progress their own board.
I feel like there's a lot of times where I can get to five mana, and then, like, I, a lot of the time, want to use my mana to help me progress to other mana, but there's other times where, like, I want to have five mana, but then, like, also sandbag additional mana for some other time. So if I can cast Wandering Archaic and then cast Atali in a future turn, I think there's going to be times where, like, slower, rockier hands will let Wandering Archaic type cards shine.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Like, in the games that Blood Moon is good, Wandering Archaic is also good.
Yes, definitely. And I think because you lack interaction, you need some of that. You need some way to protect, interact kind of on the stack. Like, I feel like you just need a little bit of gameplay there, and Wandering Archaic is a great thing. Especially, you're a big mana deck. You make a bunch of mana. Sometimes it's not seven. Sometimes you can only make five. Five mana on turn one for a Wandering Archaic is still going to be really fucking good.
One other card I want to shout out real quick that I haven't had the chance to put into play yet, but I'm really excited to test out is Roaming Throne.
Oh, dude.
Naming Dinosaur?
This has got to be good. I think it's got to be.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
If the other one is good, this is good.
It's just a Twin Flame that you get into play first.
It can be responded to, but you can't get blown out as easily. In response to Twin Flame, Swords or Atali. That fucking sucks. But if you Roaming Throne, I mean, I guess still in response to Atali, they could hit the Roaming Throne, but doesn't it have like Ward or something?
It has Ward too.
It has a little bit of protection even.
Yeah. And what's nuts is that it's also Mind Break Trap protection kind of, because the first Atali trigger will go off, and then you cast all of the spells from that Atali trigger while the second Atali trigger is still on the stack.
Yeah.
So they can get rid of one of your Atali triggers, but your second Atali trigger is still going to go off.
That makes sense. Like, they can only get four of the eight spells that way.
But
one mind break
trap. And if that second one that they can't get gets me another Atali, then that's my second and third Atali, then that a lot of the times, like, makes me feel like I can win. This idea came from spinning into it off of a Magda players.
Yeah.
And that was like, oh, shoot, I should be playing this in my own
kinda
deck.
Makes sense.
It kind of does.
I mean, if you're the only thing that you want to do in Atali is more Atali triggers, this card makes sense to me. Like, you either win by infinite Atali triggers, or you get to the win by getting a couple Atali triggers. So Roaming Throne's got to be it.
Yeah, I feel like it's just extra push for a lot of times when, like, you spin into a bunch of stuff and then it's bad, and then you go, thank God I have Twin Flame in my hand. Like, I kept an opener with an Atali copier, and now I can use Treasonous Ogre to help me cast this Atali copier. Like, oh man, it lined up nicely for me this time, but there's going to be a lot of times where I think just having, like, Roaming Throne as my second one will just be like, oh, this is the one that found me, the Atali copier.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop omahasteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list, and every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
Any other, like, special highlightable cards that you want to mention? Like, I don't know, we'll go into Birds. You play Birds of Paradise, whatever. We don't have to go into, like, detail about that. But any, like, special cards you want to highlight?
Those are my main ones.
I feel like we talked about a bunch.
My mana base could probably use a little bit of tweaking. I don't think I need, like, Exotic or Orchard. Sure. I need to find another copy of, what's the Gain Life one?
No, don't
Grove
say
Grove of the Burn.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Grove is good.
Not the Tap Land.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, no, Cameron.
But, like, Grove of the Burn Will is, like, at least another thing.
Yeah,
like,
well, who cares about giving them a life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That one would be great.
I really like, I haven't seen this one in all of the decks, but I really like Yavimaya, Cradle of Growth, just because Orcish Lumberjack is just so good.
Yeah, and sometimes you are running a couple colorless lands in your deck, right? You're running, like, an Ancient Tomb that sometimes you just need the double green or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Urza Saga or Emergence Zone tapping for green right away, too. I'm on a full Carpet of Flowers thing, too. So, like, Talon Gates of Madara I also have in here, too.
Do you mean a full crop rotation thing?
What did I say?
Carpet of Flowers.
I meant to say crop rotation. Crop rotation. Yeah. Crop rotation. Yeah.
Which so means, so, like, crop rotation can be removal in Talon Gates. It can be a bunch of mana in Gaia's Cradle. It can be instant speed win in a Emergence Zone.
And it can be graveyard get stuff back with Shifting Woodlands too.
Dude, Shifting Woodlands is such a huge, great include in this deck.
Because I feel like I get interacted with a lot. And all of my win conditions involve, like, a permanent that I want to play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think
Namely
it's perfect.
Food Chain.
Yes.
Namely Food Chain.
Namely Food Chain is the big one. But there's other ones that it's really nice that Shifting Woodlands can become a copy of. We've talked about this a bunch. I don't want to touch too much on Shifting, but I want to just mention how, like, Shifting, it's 4 mana to do it, but there's no tapping. So Shifting can be one of the mana that you do to activate the ability. It can be realistically closer to, like, 3 mana, it feels like, a lot of time. The card is just so powerful, especially in a deck like this.
I'm not the best Delirium deck, but I've gone through a couple of Atalis, there's a good chance that I'll have something. If I get blown out, there's a good chance that I'll have something.
You're going to get blown out. It's going to happen. Having a few pieces that help you recover is necessary.
It's really in there to be another Food Chain mostly.
Yeah.
And Food Chain, a lot of the times, is the fourth card type. Like, enchantment's the fourth card type that you need in your graveyard.
I wonder, there's never a situation where, like, never mind. I'm trying to think, like, if it can become an Atali, like, you let your Atali go to the graveyard, have Shifting become a copy of it, and then Twin Flame the Shifting, but that wouldn't work because it wouldn't, it would, right?
If you twin flame a shifting Woodlands,
to make another copy of the Atali and then sacrifice the one. So that sounds like, that's like a very weird aside, but.
But it is something that could happen. Like, that's technically, you're like, a 6 mana Atali.
Right. I feel like I don't have more mana, but you're just killing my Atali over here. I'm just going to let it go to the command zone.
I don't hate that. Like, I don't love the idea of putting Natalie in my graveyard, because once it's in my graveyard, I don't really have another good way to get it out of my graveyard.
Right, yeah. Yeah, even if you do that twin flame line. But just another option, I don't know, just something to
still,
think about.
Yeah, still.
It's nice that everything that Atali does well works really well with red and green stuff that Wizards has decided will be good in CDH, right? Like, I feel like with the recent printing of Molten Duplication and the one with Flashback, these like cheap red copiers, these cheap red clone effects, they have said, this is what red does well for Commander, I think. At least that's the message that I'm getting.
Make short burst, like impulse clones.
Right, and that's great for Atali. Atali works so well with that. Stuff like Jeskha's Will is so good in Atali, right?
Yeah.
It's just seven mana a lot of exactly. time. That's awesome.
Yeah, so more of those kind of effects with Flashback. Like, yes. things that will allow me to do it again so that when I inevitably fail, it will be like, I have a way to get myself back.
Yeah, yeah. I completely agree.
That's really what I'm looking for.
That's the most exciting part about Atali, is like the red and green cards that Wizards has been printing recently work well with the Atali strategy, so you get new toys all the time, I feel.
It makes the MDFCs insane, too, especially now that we have MDFCs that come into play untapped.
The Disciple of Fraelis.
Disciple of Fraelis.
Oh, my God.
It's a great way to put Atali back into my command zone.
Trust you, seven cards. It's fucking insane.
If that can't find me another way to get Atali back, I don't know what will.
Even if you're like, oh, I think I'm going to whiff, but at least my land here is going to accidentally, for free, draw me seven cards and gain me seven life, I'm probably in an okay spot. You're in an okay spot there.
Or even
there.
Like the red Pinnacle Monk, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Gets my Metamorphosis back or my Twin Flame back from my graveyard, which feels great.
Perfect for Atali. Like, those cards feel like they were made for the deck.
They're great, like, if I spit into an Eldritch Evolution, too. Like, oh, shit. Like, I have another thing that I can go get off Eldritch.
The red one can't get back the Eldritch because Eldritch exiles itself. But
correct.
I understand what you're saying. Eldritch can go get
that. I did have a game where I had an Atali that spun into Eldritch Evolution, and I had a 3-mana thing that I could sacrifice. And I was like, you know what would be an awesome thing to get is the Pinnacle Monk, because I had the copier in my graveyard.
Yeah, yeah. Great. So much good synergy there.
But yeah, this is like just my list. And I know there's some stuff that I do in my list that other players don't.
Are there some, you want to talk about some highlights, some other cards that other players are playing that you haven't gotten to or don't think are quite good, or?
Yeah, let's do this. So I have someone who's played a lot of Atali and has done really well with Atali is the comedian, Ian.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple things that I understand why he likes in his list. And it's just a little bit of a different kind of strategy that he's going for. Whereas I play more mana dorks, Elvish Mystic, Llanowar Elves, and stuff like that. He's on a lot more of like a ritual strategy where he plays the 2-mana Desperate Ritual and Piratic Ritual.
Kind of makes sense.
Which does make sense, especially because then he gets to also play Goblin and Archomancer and Ruby Medallion, which are ways to make not just those rituals cheaper, but like your Jeskha's Will cheaper.
Your Atali cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it just makes it way easier to go off with like even the Sticker Goblin combos then too.
It's nice that those mana sources are active right away. And I feel like that's what Atali needs, is like, you want your spins to work with you right now, and like being able to hit that instant spinner now. Whereas if Atali hits an Elvish Mystic, that kind of sucks, right? That's bad normally.
Exactly.
Sometimes it can be okay, but oftentimes it's bad. So I guess that makes sense. Have you thought about shifting that a little bit?
I have. The thing that I don't like about the red rituals is that it just like kind of helps you get stopped easier.
Sure.
Like, the people find, oh, that's a great like Flusterstorm target before you are able to cast Atali. And now you, like, it prevents you from having a way to get back to Atali.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I don't like about it. Like, at least if I tap Elvish Mystic, I can untap them and use them again next turn.
Yeah, that's fair. I also
really like them with Food Chain too.
Oh,
so like,
yeah.
Even if I spin into an Elvish Mystic, at least it's 2-mana into a Food Chain if I have Food Chain.
That's true. It helps you actually close the game out and find the win a little bit quicker.
So I think there's a lot of good synergy with
there's reasons for both, for sure.
Medallion, because a lot of times like those cards can add you 2 to 3 mana per turn instead of just like 1 mana that a mana dork does. But I like the long game implications that mana dorks have. And it's kind of made me look for more impactful 3-drops that I want to have then in play than 2. Like more things like Hunting Velociraptor that will help me make sure that turn 3 Atali is guaranteed.
Sure. You want to have decent follow-up turns. So rather than having the most explosive Atali turn ever, your Atali is turned to an 8 rather than an 11, but there's a pretty good chance you can follow it up next turn with the second win attempt.
Yeah.
Whereas the 11 version maybe has a hard time following it up if they do stop after all that shit. The second turn win, well, now, because of the Desperate Ritual and all that stuff, I only have three mana in play, and I don't have access to those things now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, that makes sense.
We're on a little bit of a different removal package, too, whereas I'm on Abrade and Fury.
Okay, a Fury I think is good.
Fury I think I still really like. Yeah. Abrade, I will argue, I think I could swap out for something else.
Maybe time to cut Abrade.
It could be time to cut Abrade. I don't think I would cut it for Archdruid's Charm. I played Archdruid's Charm for a little while.
Green stuff.
Green stuff. Unless I have Gaia's Cradle, like, I'm not really actively looking for a green card, even though it's so flexible. So many good things. I get rid of a Reversing Study that I wanted to get rid of.
Yeah.
It's sort of a Dreaded Magistrate that I wanted to get rid of. It ramps me if I wanted to. Like, it does so many good things, but it's just so difficult to cast.
Yeah, I feel like just as a player, like, if you're a playstyle, you don't want shit that's gonna sometimes rot in your hand. You want all of your things to always be live. Just as a player, like, that's how you are. You don't want cards that are those very drastic 80-20s. You want them closer to 60-40s.
It was the easiest thing for me to pitch to a Chromox or my Gemstone Caverns, and that was the best thing that it did for me. But I would consider playing Delayed Blast Fireball. He's on Delayed Blast
Fireball.
That one's
good. I think that's cool.
That one's pretty cool. Yeah,
doesn't get rid of Dranith.
It's really good because when you spin into it, you haven't cast it from your hand.
That's crazy.
Or you are casting it from exile, which means that when you spin into it for free, you get the 5 damage option.
We didn't talk about another one of the cons is this deck is pretty weak to Dranith Magistrate. Not only does it stop you from getting Atali out, but it stops your food chain win and stops if you're doing Underworld Breach stuff. It makes the deck difficult to interact with. And the 2 damage version of the spell does not deal with Dranith Magistrate.
No, and that's why I'm still on Abrade is because it does deal with Dranith Magistrate.
But the upside of 5 damage to everything is nutso.
Yeah,
that's really good.
That is true.
Yeah.
He's also on Flare of Duplication, which is one I've gone back and forth on.
Oh, I like this.
I like that it, like, I can sacrifice a Tali, but if I don't have a Tali in play, it makes it harder.
It's just another, it could be a second Twin Flame, though, if you have another red creature in play. Like, okay,
maybe
then.
I should be thinking a little bit harder on Flare of Duplication.
Yeah.
I didn't think there were many great applications for it, but maybe there's more than I think.
Yeah, I think just it adds to that, like, ability. And I know we've talked about Flare of Duplication to copy someone else's ad nauseum is not really that good.
Yeah.
But
I feel like there's a lot of times where, like, if I could Flare of Duplication someone's Demonic Tutor to go find Treasonous Ogre, like, I feel like that's still really good.
Yeah, I agree.
He's on a different green MDFC than I am. I'm on the Disciple of Fraile.
He's not on that one at all.
No, he's on Bridgeworks Battle instead, the fight spell.
Both. I think they're both good.
I think they both probably are good. I don't have room for the other one quite yet, although now that I think I want to change up my mana base a little bit, I feel like I definitely can make room for Bridgeworks Battle.
I think Disciple is, that's just so nutty. The option of getting rid of the chunky to draw 7, that feels so good.
And Battle is a way to get rid of Dranith Magistrate too, so why not both?
I think why not both. How are you playing basics? What basics are you playing?
I'm on some basics. Henry. I am on a basic forest and a basic mountain.
Basic mountain.
I like having basics. I run as many fetch lands as I possibly can, except for Prismatic Vista.
Have you thought about a snow-covered forest?
I'm actually on snow-covered forest.
You are? So you have snow-covered and forest?
No, just snow-covered.
Have you thought about a basic, having 2?
I have, but I would, if I'm, before I put a basic forest in, I'm going to put Bridgeworks Battle in.
Yeah, I get that.
Is
I get
how that.
That
goes, yeah.
It doesn't I'm thinking about Blood Moon, sometimes you'll need double green pips, but that's not super relevant. You'll have a Minor Elves or something.
No, yeah, I have other ways that I can make green mana that I'm not as concerned about it, and most of the time, I just want to cast Chunky anyway on Blood Moon.
And that's kind of another nice thing about this deck is, like, I don't want to say you can turn your brain off, but it does kind of, like, and I really want to emphasize that I don't think it's like a dumb deck. It is tricky, but it is, it feels like it's fun. It's just fun to play. Well, like, sometimes it's just obvious. Oh, here's 4 great spells that I get to cast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, a great way to, one, like, if you're unfamiliar with the format, it's a good way to very quickly learn the format because you see so many cards so quickly. But it's also just, like, I don't know. It's just, it's fun. It just does kind of crazy things, which are fun.
Okay. I have one more deck that I want to compare. It got top 32 at the Fishbowl, which is not too terrible.
It's pretty good.
So there's a couple of additional things that they're on here. Eldrazi Confluence and a number of Atali lists before.
What does that do?
I guess more recently. So this is 2/2 colorless and for an instant, and it's a Confluence spell, which means that you can...
2/2 colorless?
2/2 colorless, yeah.
Like, like specifically 2 colorless.
2/2 colorless pips.
Okay, sorry. I don't know why that tripped me off for a second.
So it's an instant. You can choose 3 and you can choose the same mode more than once. It gets rid of Dranith Magistrate. You can have target creature get +3/-3 until end of turn. You can exile target non-land permanent permanent, then return it to the battlefield tapped under its owner's control.
Oh.
Or you can create a 1-1 Eldrazi Scion.
Flickers a Tali?
So it can flicker a Tali, get rid of Draenith Magistrate, or help you get mana by creating 1-1 Eldrazi Scions that can tap for colorless.
That seems really mana.
It's 4 mana and you have to have 2 colorless specifically, Soul Ring in particular. Yeah. Which is why I'm not on it, but I have seen it and it seems really funny.
That seems great. Great flip off a Tali too.
I've seen a couple of these other Atali lists that play Kiki Jiki lines with Fear of Missing Out or Combat Celebrant too. It's just like another way to win the game.
Dude, I want
to
play this deck.
I wish that Kiki Jiki could copy Atali.
Oh, non-legendary specifically.
It's specifically non-legendary, which would be so cool. But this list is also on Harrygast, Erupting Null Kite.
What is this
card? This is the 9-mana 6/6 Eldrazi Dragon that you can emerge for 6/2 red. And when you cast it, you can exile your hand. And if you do, you draw 3.
What is emerge? You can
you sacrifice another creature and reduce its emerge casting cost by the amount of mana that was sacrificed.
Can you remind me again what the emerge cost for this is?
6/2 red. So it's cheaper to cast if you emerge something.
So for red,
by
red,
a ton.
You sack a Tali and this is red, red.
That's still really good. Like a red, red draw 3 is still really good.
I guess, yeah. And then you have the ability to recast a Tali.
That's been around for a while, technically. The ability to go red, red draw 3 has been around for a while.
Because of Bedlam Reveler.
Yeah.
And that card stinks.
But why aren't we playing Bedlam Reveler? Did that card have Delve, or what made Bedlam Reveler cheap?
Not the number of cards in graveyard, but the number of instants and sorceries in the graveyard, maybe? I don't know. Was it cards in graveyard? I love that card. I can't remember.
I built the Mardu Pyromancer deck because of this card.
Yep, me too.
How did
Jerry Thompson play?
The same modern experience, and we missed each other for years.
Right, with Lingering Souls, I think. Jerry Thompson played this deck, right?
Young Pyromancer.
So good.
So good, yeah. This spell costs 1 less to cast for each instant sorcery in your graveyard, and it has prowess. When it enters, discard your hand.
I guess the instant sorcery in graveyard is harder with Atali.
Yeah, because you don't play Lingering Souls and Faithless Looting in this deck. Yeah. So
Faithless Looting, no, that's still bad. It's still bad.
Still bad.
What else we talk about Atali? We talked about the win conditions. We talked about the pros. We talked about the cons. We talked about the goals. Should we do some test hands?
All right, let's do some Atali test hands, which is just basically how much mana can we make?
Can we make 7 mana by turn 2? If not, mulligan at least 2 or 3 times.
Dude, this hand's cracked.
All right.
Cracked first hand.
See it.
You ready for this? It's turn 2 chunky, I think. We have Scalding Tarn, Exotic Orchard, Defense Grid, Orcish Lumberjack, Twin Flame, Seething Song, and Dual Caster Mage.
Oh, Seething Song and Dual Caster Mage. Okay, I have to see it.
Yeah, this is just a turn 2 win. Because what you do is on turn 1, you go Scalding Tarn into Orcish Lumberjack. Turn 2, you play your Exotic Orchards, and then make 5 mana off of the Lumberjack, and then all this. You can Seething Song so that if you want to Atali, you could. Or you can just use all that mana to Twin Flame and Dual Caster Mage and win on turn 2 like that.
That's funny.
So,
would you go for... I mean...
Honestly, you can do this with Defense Grid backup.
You can,
because you make 5 mana off of your 2 lands. If you fetch Taiga,
you
make 5 off of your 2 lands.
Go
and
up to 7? Oh, yeah.
And then
you go up to 7, yeah. And you go Defense Grid, Twin Flame, Dual Caster.
Yeah.
Definitely go for that, right?
Wow, this deck's cracked.
Yeah,
all right.
That's really okay. Yeah,
keeping that hand.
Turn 2 win. That's weird.
That's
okay.
Wild.
Let's go to the next one.
Deal another hand. Okay. This one's a little weirder. This is Carplusian Forest, Windswept Teeth, Besage You, Lightning Bolt, Seething Song, Dual Caster Mage, and then Sylvan Library.
Gotta be no, right?
I think I'm tossing this back. There's no impactful thing on turn 1, and it's just turn 2 library to do nothing.
Yeah, not what we want to do. I mean, it looks like a keepable hand, turn 1 Lightning Bolt something. Turn 2 Sylvan Library, turn 3, but that's not what we want to do.
No,
we want something like
not.
That first
one.
Second 7.
This one's weird too. We got Lotus Petal, Windswept Teeth, Talisman of Impulse, Roaming Throne, Gamble, Ragavan, and Sylvan Library.
That Gamble's got to be able to get something.
These are the hands that start to make me go, how do I get Treasonous Ogre into this hand? Yeah.
Yeah, you can't really gamble for Treasonous because you won't have enough to cast it quick enough. Can you gamble for Mana Vault wouldn't get you where you need to be by turn 2? You could turn to a Roaming Throne? No.
And then the problem is if I get Mana Vault and use it for Roaming Throne, then I'm out of luck. Yeah.
You could. I mean, sometimes on a second 7, I don't know. Sometimes Ragavan, bunch of mana, I think are those are keepable hands, but that's how I feel in Rog'Sai, which is another turbo deck, but I don't know if that transfers over to Atali.
I almost don't hate Windswept Teeth into Lotus Petal, into Talisman, into Ragavan, and actually holding on to Gamble for the future.
Yeah, I think that could could be fine.
Because I think those four cards in the deck, the Ragavan, Lotus Petal, Talisman, and Windswept Teeth are all so important to the opener that, like, if I get rid of Roaming Throne or Sylvan Library, I almost don't care. And if the thing that I get off Gamble is like, oh, man, I really want it to be a way to help me get a Tali out is the problem.
Yeah, you could, if you rip a land, you could off of the turn one land, Lotus Petal, Talisman, Ragavan, you could get to four mana on turn two if you hit the land, which would help you get turn two Roaming Throne, but then you're down mana?
Then I'm down mana.
Like, then you're down the treasure that you made from Ragavan, so you'd only be down to three, and you'd have to find, like, another way to cast a Tali, which, like, maybe the Gamble could get you. I don't know. I feel like... This one's got lots of good cards, but I think I might chip this one and look for a better six.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think we can find a better six really easily. So let's deal another six. Oh, this is Talongate. This is every single one of our tech lands right here.
With the Magus of the Moon.
And Magus of the Moon. Oh, God, and no way to cast any spells. Talongate's Emergent Zone, Magus of the Moon, Jaxis the Troublemaker, Worldly Tutor, Crop Rot, and Food Chain.
We're going to a seven. Five. Yeah, we'll go to five. Yep,
we're going to five. All right. Well, five still could be good. This one's not, though. Command Tower, Talongate of Madaris, Snow Cover Mountain, Pinnacle Monk, Molten Duplication, Land of War Elves, and Eldritch Evolution.
If Dockside was in the format, it's a Snapkeep. It's a turn two Dockside.
Yeah, really. Turn two Dockside. Honestly, this could be a turn two Hunting Velociraptor into a turn three Atali.
On a five, maybe that's good on a keep.
I think
five.
What I'm doing is I'm putting back one of the lands.
Talon Gates?
Maybe the Talon Gates. And then I'm putting back the Pinnacle Monk, probably.
So you have enough for Land of War Elves, Eldritch Evolution.
And then Molten Duplication. And then I'm going, turn two
Hunting Velociraptor.
Maybe I need to put back Molten Duplication.
And keep an extra
and
land.
And keep an extra land just to make sure that I'm able to do turn three and just guarantee it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would be my play for this hand.
I think on a five, that's fine, right? On a five, that's what you're looking for.
I could look for Forest, Orcish Lumberjack, and... LED.
Yeah.
But I think this is fine.
This is
a turn three chunky that's played out. We don't know the pod.
We didn't talk about the pod. Atali doesn't care.
Atali doesn't care. Like, this one will care if I'm up against, like, multiple Tim the Thrasios and, like, a lot of creature decks that it's going to be hard to get in with Humpty Velociraptor.
Maybe you find, like, Magus the Moon or something.
Maybe
instead,
something like that.
If your draws are good.
My three drops are still really powerful. I still kind of really like this.
Okay.
So
cool. We'll keep that one. Should we do one more game?
Let's do one more. Yeah. And we're still not going to know the pod because who gives one?
I see a Lion's Eye Diamond. Is this hand good?
This hand's interesting. This is Gaia's Cradle, Talongate of Madara. Talongate is looking really bad. Every time that I do test hands with a deck of mine on the channel, I realize that there's a land in here that is really bad.
Yeah.
Lion's Eye Diamond, Urza Saga, Cavern of Souls, Hunting Velociraptor, and Carpet of Flowers.
Awkward. So no way to cast Carpet. No way to cast any spells.
No.
Can't keep it. So good cards. Like, if you draw lucky, it's good.
Yeah, but, like, I can't get Hunting Velociraptor down at all.
Yeah, so I would definitely mulligan this one to a second seven.
Second seven. Here we go. We got Wooded Foothills, Cavern of Souls, Snowcover Mountain, Gamble, Deflecting Swat, Carpet of Flowers, and Elvish Spirit Guide. This is a keep.
This is a keep?
This is a keep. I think so, because depending on the pod, this is a turn two...
What do you gamble for?
I was going to say a turn two Treasonous Ogre, but I was forgetting that Carpet of Flowers has to come down at a weird time.
You could. If you land Carpet into Gamble on turn one, then next turn you can land, hopefully with the Carpet and the Elvish.
Yeah, there's certain spots where if I go second and someone did play an island, where I
could
do
that.
This
could get you turn two Treasonous Ogre?
This would get me a turn two.
Is this a six or second seven?
This is a...
Oh, shit.
Second seven.
Second seven. This is a keep? You keep this? Deflecting Swat's nice, too.
The Deflecting Swat's nice, yeah, just so that way, if I get Mind Break trapped after I cast a Tali...
You can at least protect one spell that you want to resolve.
I get to change all of the targets on Mind Break Trap.
This one's a keep. It's not the most flashy one, and your gamble could suck, and your carpet could be bad. It has the recipe for a turn two Atali, because if the gamble works and you get Treasonous Ogre on turn two, not only is it a turn two Atali, but then you have more mana to cast other shit that you draw.
Yeah, so like anything that else that I draw could end up working out for me, too. Yeah.
I keep this one.
What do we draw? An Exotic Orchard.
That sucks.
But then we drew Wheel of Fortune, which would be really good.
That's true. We might have vetched on turn one, or no?
We maybe saved the fetch, but it didn't matter.
Atali's great, dude. I think the deck is awesome. It suffers the storm problem in that you feed Rhystic Study, and if you whiff, whoops. It's still, I think, a really fun, powerful deck.
If you like Kirk Sakashima, like if you like those non-deterministic kind of storm decks, this is a really cool deck for you. If you like putting weird puzzles together in Magic, I think this is a good deck for you when, like, you don't know how you have to piece your win together. Sometimes you have to play really weird creatures and get some really bizarre effects, like Ranger Captain of Eos getting you specific things that, maybe I should be considering that more. Maybe, like, a way that can bounce a Tali back to my hand off of a Ranger Captain. Maybe I should, like, can Wirewood Symbiote return it to my hand?
Maybe that's not good.
Maybe that's not good. I don't know. I have a lot of thinking to do because my list feels tight, but there's also a lot of cards that I also do feel like make a lot of sense in the deck, but could also be upgraded for better things that might make it function a little bit better too. All right, so the last thing that I just want to add is that my list is in the description of the video, as well as Ian's list and all the other decks that we talked about today, including a list that has been doing really well at, like, 50 to 100 person tournaments, so that you have an idea as to, like, what other chunky cards could be out there for you too. I ended up making a couple of swaps since we recorded this episode, including removing Blank Goblin for a couple of other cards that I think will help me be a little bit more resilient in mid-rangey games that come up, because it's clear that there's a lot of cool stuff that you can do. Just gonna figure out which cards are best for your playstyle, what ones you like the best.
All right, that's it. Thanks for watching. If you like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Penguinman0089, Eli the Magic Guy, David Newman, Pat Fire, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Roars, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Zunon, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Groupie, Gecko 21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Scare Bear Garrett, Luke Cook, Joshua Day, Demon of Roskaries, Peter Stewart, Cornar Wild, Uncle Butts, Nick Foles, Goto 9, Quaje, Hamid, Scott Hawk, and Baby G-Bus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 at our affiliate link down below for 5% off.
Follow us on social media for more content.
Thank you for watching.
See you next time.
The Gaming Kinkajou, Ryan Ward, Dan the Man, Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Bill Bob, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poti, Justin Man Solo, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson. Thank you all.
That's a good range. That's a really solid range.
How high can you go?
Not very high.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.